Okay, are we ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. This morning we're going to continue that series of messages that we began last week that I've entitled Think Big and Live Big. How many of y'all are convinced, maybe some of us aren't, but that's why we hold series, that God has called us to live not a small life, but to live a big life? Right? That does not mean you move to Malibu. That does not mean you move to Rodeo Drive. I've been to both places. Close places, closest places to heaven on earth, other than Hawaii. But anyway, that doesn't mean you become famous. That does not mean you become wealthy and affluential. That doesn't mean that. That means that in your world, you live big. And you let Jesus, the Jesus that lives in you, live big through you. Can I get a witness, please? You know, if we serve a big God, why are we living small lives? God has called us to live big. God has called us to live joyful. God has called us to live peaceful. God has called us to do things in a big way, small things in a big way for His glory. John chapter 10, we're going to read one verse of Scripture. Verse 10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, notice carefully, that they, everybody say, they means me.
They.
Thank you. That they may have life and that they may have that life more, how? Abundantly. We said very quickly that, you know, the New Testament was written in the Greek language. The Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. Jesus spoke Aramaic. There are so many different languages. But anyway, so in the Greek language, it is the most precise, exact language in the world. And we said that, you know, in our English language, we only have one word for the word life, right? And in the Greek language, there are four different words. Zoe is the highest quality of life that you could possibly have, also known as the God kind of life. And then there is suche, which means that you have a soulish life. And then you have anastrophe, another Greek word. I'm just spouting out Greek words. And anastrophe is a manner, the manner in which you live your life. And then you have bios, which is all kinds of human and animal life, generally. And the highest of all those four types of life, hands down, is the zoe kind of life. It is the God kind of life, and that's the exact word that is found here when Jesus said, I have come that you guys might have Zoe, the God kind of life. Listen carefully. The quality of life. How many of y'all believe that if you've got Jesus, baby, you've got life?
Amen.
Right? I mean, how can you be in relationship with the author of life, the creator of all good things, and live a very small life? Right? I mean, it's like being hooked up to millions and millions of kilowatts or megawatts and having a small little light bulb that just is dim. How can you be connected to that kind of power and produce such little light? See where I'm coming from, church family? You have the creator of the universe that you are in relationship with. Therefore, we should strive to think big and live big lives. This is another way I like to call it. Be a world shaker and a history maker. Well, Pastor Joe, I'm not famous. I don't have the platform. What about in your world? Are you... Does your presence in the lives of your kids, in the lives of your grandkids, in the lives of your great-grandkids, does your presence in the life of other people, does it shake their world for the better? Yoo-hoo. You know, Philippians 2, Paul the Apostle wrote the Philippian church, the church of Philippi, and he said that we should be like stars shining in the universe, holding forth the word of life. The word of Zoe. Right? So I guess in a way, I want to encourage us to be the star that you are. In your world, in your circle of influence, live a big life. Now, with that aside, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Miss Laura. Notice this verse. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter. Notice how he describes a Christian life. This wide open, spacious life, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from where? Within whom? Within you or us. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly. Live expansively. That's out of the Message Bible. I love that. I love that. God did not call us to live a small life. He called us to live a big life. And he's saying the thing that within us that holds us back from living a big life is that we fence ourselves in, listen carefully, church family, with small thinking. We fence ourselves in by thinking small. The smallest you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. And then he says, quit fencing yourself in. Why do we fence ourselves in? Why do we believe that our lives were meant to be lived in a small way? If you're not convinced that we have been raised with an understanding of living small, who remembers that little hymn that you probably learned in children's church? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Thank you, Craig. You want to come have a number? You know, church family, did Jesus say that we had small little lights? That's not what the Bible reads. Matthew chapter 5:16 said, he said, let your light so shine before men. Not this little light. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all like coming to church where you get edumacated? You get something like that, right, Mr. Todd? That's right, flaming tongues of Listen, friends, God wants us to let our lights. I don't want a small light. I want the floodlights of Jesus, because how many of y'all know that he's got all the light people need to turn to him? Amen. Why would I want to light a small little candle? A small little light. When you're hooked up to the source of all spiritual power. God's called us to live big lives. As I said last week, you know, God doesn't just give us peace. He gives us a peace that surpasses, that far exceeds all human understanding. God doesn't just promise us joy. God promises us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right? Church family, listen, we got to start thinking big. Okay, so I'm going to, this morning in the balance of the message, I'm going to talk about five reasons why we fence ourselves in, even though our lives are not small in Christ. Why do we live them in a small way? Why have we convinced ourselves to fence ourselves in, to live them in a small way when we are called to live lives in a big way? Number one, we have never been told that we could live a big life. Right? Nobody ever told us. Nobody ever said, you know, you serve a big God, live big. The annals of history are filled with people who made a big, great contribution to life. Listen, not because they had the platform, not because they had the money, not because they had the fame or the riches, but because they decided in themselves they were going to live big and they influenced big. Right? Who remembers the Wright brothers? Who read about them in history? Kitty Hawk, North Carolina? thank you, North Carolina. And they had a thought, listen carefully, church family, they believed that man could fly, that people could fly. And you know how the church in their smallness responded to them?
Had the good Lord wanted man to fly, he would have given him wings.
No, bucko, he didn't give us wings, but he gave us a brain. You know, sometimes it's frustrating, church family, historically, to see that the church that was called, that is called to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, to be the light, the trendsetters, are always trailing behind, saying, it can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done. Yoo-hoo. There was the guy, Robert, I want to say Robert Fulton, the steamboat. Thank you. You want to come give me? We have a very smart young man. I asked him last week about the different layers of the stratus or of the atmosphere, and he gave them to me. I'm like, you are smart, kid. But he invented the steamboat, and you know when he had it sitting there about to crank it up. There were people along the river, along the shore, the river, the banks, thank you, of the river, saying, having their arms crossed, it'll never start, it'll never start, it'll never start. He kicked in that steam and started going down the river. The same people that said, it'll never start, it'll never start, they started saying, it'll never stop, it'll never stop, it'll never stop. So let me ask you, do we want to be like the trendsetters that want to live big? Or do we want to be the people that always say, it can't be done, it cannot be done. And there went the little pin, Brother Jumba. It can't be done. You know what? Church family, let's let our light so shine before people. Let this big God of ours who has called us to have a big life have a big impact on the world that we live in. Can I have a hearty amen from the house, please? Amen. So number one, nobody's ever told us. You know, several years ago, I was in a church where apparently, I didn't know this, you know, that they had a pretty handsome package for continuing education, and I was not aware of it. You know, I was just so busy trying to do ministry that I remember the night when the church treasurer came to the parsonage, knocked on the door. You know, it was kind of 8 o'clock, 8:30. He said, sir, you're not tapping into $4,500 of continuing education that we have for you. I'd been there 2 years, and I wasn't even aware that money was available. It was about the 29th of December, and so I said, well, I can still spend it, right? Because, you know, how many of y'all know that in the IRS, it's use it or lose it? Well, my mama didn't raise no fool. I had $4,500 to spend that year and a couple of days to spend it in. So what I did is I booked a trip to go to a conference in Texas, and because there was so much money, I this is one of those few times that I had more money than I know what to do with. So I, you know, what I would do is I would take my daughters with me, one daughter with me for every conference we went to. So we booked a trip first class from Chicago, because, you know, that flight from Bloomington to, or Peoria to Chicago, they don't have first class. But from Chicago to El Paso, Texas, first class. When we got there, we got the nicest car we could possibly get, because it was use it or lose it, right? We ate at the nicest restaurants. But listen, church family, I would not have been able to benefit from all that if I was not made aware, come on, somebody, that was available to me. And the first reason that people don't live big is because they don't know. Nobody's told them God wants you to live a big life. Number two, experience has taught us differently. Experience has taught us differently. You know, we live a certain way, and, you know, this is life. I suppose we kind of resign within ourselves. This is the way life is supposed to be for the rest of my life. How many of y'all know that if you start believing God's word, it begins to paint an entirely different picture of a life, right? Of a life that you could not possibly imagine having. And the question is are you going to believe your experience? Are you going to determine that your experience will be your future? Or are you going to determine that God, you're going to let the big God that lives in you live big through you and produce a big life for you? We let experience fence us in. Well, it's never been done that way before. You know, we say that to ourselves. Why do we fence ourselves in by past experience? You know, I like to wear nice clothing. I never buy retail, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I was raised in a very poor house, and my sweet dad, he, you know, when I was with the Cub Scouts, he wouldn't even buy the shirts that the Cub Scouts ask you to buy. He would go to the cheapest basement bargain things. And so when I took a picture with the Cub Scouts, I was always the guy that stood out in the picture because the color of my Cub Scout shirt was not the same as everybody else's. It was faded. And I got tired of that. You know, at the school playground, everybody had their Nike shoes, their nice shoes, and here I am with my FedMart shoes. Who remembers FedMart? Maybe you might not. Maybe that was a Texas store. But I just got tired of that. And I did not allow my experience to be my future. That's number two. Number three, bad teaching. Bad teaching from the church. But you're supposed to be, to best serve the Lord, Joe, you're supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted. Is that the way it is, church family? Is that what God said? You know, you're going to glorify me most when you're sick all the time, when you're busted all the time, when you don't have any money, you can't even pay attention. Who knows what I'm talking about? When you have money problems, baby, they consume your attention. Right? God has not called us to that, church family. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, please. I'm going to show you biblically. Mark chapter 10 in your Bibles, please. Let me set it up, the scripture we're going to read here. This is on the tail end of that rich young ruler coming up to Jesus and saying, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And the guy said, Lord, I've obeyed these from my youth. Jesus looked at him and loved him, etc., etc. And then Jesus told him to sell all of his possessions and give to the poor. Remember that? And the guy walked away sorrowfully because he had so many possessions. And then in verse 23, that's what we're going to start reading. And then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Listen, stop there. Why would the disciples be astonished at Jesus' words that how hard it would be for a rich person to enter heaven? Because the Jews believed the word of God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, that if they obeyed the commands of the Lord according to the law, that they would be blessed in the city, blessed on in the field, blessed would be everything they touched, blessed, they would be incredibly blessed. If you do not believe that Abraham's promises to the Jewish people is true, just stop and think how many billionaires today are Jewish. Listen, baby, let me break it to you. God and poverty are not tied together with a real short rope. Thank you. Right? Let's read on. That's why the disciples were astonished. And then listen carefully, Jesus is not done. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished beyond measure. The first time, they're just blown away. Now, they're way blown away. Right? Because Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. The second statement is, those who trust in riches, it is hard for those to enter the kingdom of God. And they were, verse 26, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Because these dudes were taught by the word of God that they would be unbelievably monetarily blessed. Now Jesus is saying, no one can enter, a rich man can't enter heaven. or how hard, and he didn't say how it was impossible, he just said how hard it is, or how hard it is for those who trust riches. And then, so the disciples, they concluded, who then can be saved? Notice, but looking at them, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Listen carefully, church family. He says here, and I know we're talking about the finances here in terms of this text. And that's not what I want to tell you, that that's what the big life is about, because it's not. But we have to understand, listen to what Jesus said. I have never heard a sermon preached that Jesus said, it is possible with God for a person with influence and with means to enter heaven. You know, one of the shortest books in the Bible, the New Testament, Philemon, is a letter written by Paul to this man that was very rich, who had a slave, Onesimus. And he said, listen, bring him back. He's run away. Bring him back to you. Restore in fellowship with him. God is not threatened by rich people. Did you know that in Luke chapter 10, I want to say it's 10 or 8, I think it's probably 8, listen, that there the Luke cites different ladies, women by name that followed Jesus along with the disciples, that they contributed to Jesus because they were wealthy people themselves. One of them was married to the manager of King Herod's home. How many of y'all would say that is some cheddar going on right there? Put it in street talk. We're not done yet. Let's keep going on. Verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Verse 30. Who shall not receive 100-fold or 100 times as much now in this time. Do those words mean now, right now, as in the present? Not in the sweet by and by, pie in the sky? Jesus said, if you forsake all and follow me, you will be richly, 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 richly blessed. In this life, notice the next phrase, houses and, or not this phrase, but houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children, lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal zoe, eternal life. So from that verse of scripture, can we glean that God wants us to be blessed now? He made it very clear. If you follow me now, you will be richly, 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 richly blessed. Can I have a collective amen in the house? I'm assuming you guys are just thinking and hanging with me, right? So listen, back teaching in the church taught us to say, well, the more broke you are, the more busted you are, the smaller your influence, the more you're serving the Lord. You know what I found, church family? That I can do far more for the kingdom when I'm healthy and have means than when I'm sick and broke. Right? That does not take a rocket scientist. So that's number three. Bad teaching has fenced us in from living a big life. Number four, I wish more would be taught on this, a poverty spirit. Having a poverty spirit. You know what a poverty spirit is? We are afraid that we're going to run out, so we clutch to the little we have. We live in fear that we're going to run out. So that mindset always translates to playing life. I love what Helen Keller once said. Life is a daring adventure or nothing at all. Amen? I mean, we only live once. Why not live a big life? Why not live your life adventurously? Let's not be like that guy in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, that he built this, or 12 rather, that he built these barns. He was wealthy, and he said, you know, what am I going to do with my life? I'm going to say, soul, you've worked hard. Now let's build bigger barns. Why? Why not supply others with what God has blessed you? How many of us know, church family, that if you're going to live a big life, you have to learn to let go of the resources that God has given you? I'm going to say it the way Corrie Ten Boom said it. She once told a man of God, she said, listen, the secret to living a good life, a God-honoring life, is hold loosely to all of your possessions. Right? You know, in the wild, in I think I just want to say it's in Africa, the way they trap monkeys, very funny way they trap monkeys, they'll put like oranges or fruit in a coconut only big enough for his hand to go in, and the monkeys reach in their hand to grab the apple or the orange, but when they try to pull out, the hole's too small for them, and the monkeys will just simply not let go of that fruit. And that's what traps those monkeys with that coconut. They won't let go. You know, church family, I think there's a lesson for us as people too. When we don't let go of what God has blessed us with and we're like this, how many of y'all know you're going to get stuck in life? And life won't get bigger for you. Life will remain the same. A poverty mentality. We're going to do without. We're going to do without. We're going to do without. Crazy, huh? And the last one. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. Number five. What fences us in from living big? Having a spirit of timidity. Well, Joe, what if I want to live big, but what will it cost me? What if? Can I go on a bully pulpit right now? You know, I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, well, you know, Joe, I know that if I work really hard at my job, I can get a promotion, but I won't work harder for for that extra money. I'm like thinking, really? That's a poopy attitude. Just because you're too lazy to put in extra effort to show up early in the morning to do all your work, do it as unto the Lord, come on somebody, and receive greater compensation, you'd rather not because more will be expected of you. Shame, shame, shame. You, my friend, are timid. Or I'm just going to take it, and don't edit this out, Miss Sheila. I tell her that often. You know, if you're collecting unemployment because that's more pay for you than going to work, shame, shame, shame. You're an able-bodied person, and you ought to bust your butt at your job instead of saying, well, I'm going to stay home and watch Jerry Springer and eat some Hershey bars.
Amen.
Don't shout me down, people, because I'm preaching it pretty good this morning. Who's with me on that?
Amen.
Thank you. I work, you shall work. And no, baby, socialism is not in the Bible. Sorry. The Bible says he who doesn't work should not eat. Second says, oh man, we're having revival now. Bless the Lord. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for your precious word that speaks, that screams out to us, Lord, that says that we can have a big life. We can be blessed now in this time. Now in this present life, Lord, thank you for your word. Inspire all of us, Lord, to think bigger so we can live bigger and let a bigger light shine to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead.